الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اول سورة المؤمنون اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد افلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون صدق الله العظيم. In the previous session we discussed the meaning of falah in detail as well as in depth. Now what are the conditions for that falah? What are the exercises you have to undertake in order to have that falah according to the prescription of the Quran? First thing to be noted is that in the beginning as well as the end, what is mentioned is falah. As if the character building according to the Quran, for that purpose, the first and the foremost exercise, I'm using this word knowingly, consciously. The first and the foremost exercise is salah, prayer. Now here I want to discuss something, what salah is. The root of salah is either sad, lam, waw or sad, lam, ya. And those of you who have some knowledge, even elementary knowledge of Arabic language, must be knowing that three letters, alif, wa, ya, they are called huruf illat and they are interchangeable. Saad, lam, waw, saad, lam, ya. Saad, lam, ya, it means to get the warmth. Yaslan nar al kubra. They will burn in the big fire. Tasqaloon. To get the warmth before something, some fire, you'll get the warmth. This is Swad Lam Ya. Swad Lam Wa means to face someone. To come face to face with someone. Now join these two. And this will give you the essence of Salah. In Salah, that is the prayer. You are standing face to face with your Rabb, your Allah. That is why in the beginning you say, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. وَجْه in Arabic means face. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ. I've turned my face towards the direction of my Allah, who created all heavens and earth. Cutting my connection, the relation with the whole of the world, I'm focusing my attention and facing my Rabb. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That is why Iqbal has said in his lecture, the meaning of prayer in Islam. What does it mean? The ana, I discussed it in the last session, ana, khudi, myself, I, the small ana, the finite ego, comes face to face with the infinite ego. And that is Allah. Allah uses this pronoun for himself also. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. The big I am, according to the words used by Allama Iqbal, the big I am. He is the big I am. And I and you are small I ams. The small, finite, limited, I, ana, khudi, comes face to face with the big I am, khud hi khuda ke samne. That is why the Prophet said, if it is real salah, if it is coming out of your consciousness and depths of your heart, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'mineen. It is the mi'raj, the highest ascension of a mu'min. In mi'raj, the Prophet was face to face, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conversation going. The same conversation goes. You study Surah Al-Fatiha. إِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي. Do you remember that hadith? Hadith of Muslim. وَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي. وَإِذَا يَقُولُ الْعَبْدُ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي. وَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذَا مَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. And when the mu'min says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Allah says, this is هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. This is for my bondsman, and I have granted to my bondsman what he requested for. This is the munajat. This is the conversation. This is the dialogue going on between you and your Rabb. If this salah is coming out of your depths of your heart and from the conscious level of your mind, not only just repeating words, not knowing what we are saying, thinking something else, going far and wide away, thinking about some problem of your business or profession, and just doing an exercise, that is something else. Even for that you will get the reward. At least we have spent time. The time is money. You have taken some trouble. You have come out of your business. So the reward will be there. No doubt. But that's not going to be the mirajul mu'min. And now what's the final result? The warmth comes to your spirit. When the body is dead, it becomes cold. When the ruh, we are hot-blooded animals. When we are dead, we become cold. This ruh within us gets cold when it is half dead or dead. If you want to give it the warmth of life, that will come through salah. Taad lam ya, to get warmth. So that is the essence of salah. Not a ritual. Not a right, not a custom. And here you see the salah from the beginning till the end. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those mu'min have dug out their real inner self and developed it fully. Who, number one, who are humble in their prayer, who are praying with humility. Khasha means to go down. Khashiyatan absaruhum. Their eyes will be fixed on the ground. Khashatil aswat. The sound went down when it became very low. When you go low, it's khasha. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun allatheena hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Not only their body is bending down, their inner self is bending down. Their ana is bending down at the same time. When they are prostrating before their Lord with their bodies, their whole personality is prostrating it. Not the only physical aspect. And it ends with, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. These are two aspects of this prayer. خُشُوع and خُضُوع. That's the inner quality of prayer. And يُحَافِظُونَ. You have to guard it, not to miss any salah. Keep the timings. Observe all the rules and regulations about it. Be mindful of every rukun. Don't steal anything from the salah. It so happened once that a Bedouin came in the mosque of the Prophet ﷺ and he hastily said his prayer from ruku straight to the sajda. Not coming up but standing still. The Prophet said, he saw his prayer and said, when he came to him, Maybe he was in a hurry due to this that I should get more time with the Prophet. I do away with the Salah immediately and then go to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, Salli fa inna lam tusalli. Go and say your prayer, you have not prayed. So he went there again in the same way. The Prophet again said, Salli fa inna lam tusalli. You have not prayed. And then the Prophet said, you have to perform every act of the Salah, every rukun, with dignity. When you have to stand up straight. Then go to the sajda after ruku. From one sajda you have to, are sitting, you have to sit. Your back straight. Not just raise your head and go again. Not that. So all these things are included in muhafizah, guarding the prayer. And then guarding the niyyah about the prayer, the intention. Don't show it off. The Prophet said, whosoever is praying, and for example, to suppose each sajda is devoting 5 seconds. But when he feels that someone is watching him, he lengthens the duration of the sajda to supposing 7 seconds. The Prophet said, this is ash-shirkul khafi. This is shirk. Because you have added these 2 seconds to your sajda to please the person who is seeing you, who is watching you. These 2 seconds are not for Allah. For this sajda, there are 2 masjood. One is Allah, the other is the person to whom you are showing. It is shirk. So to guard the prayer, timings, rules, regulations, for Muslim males, it is necessary to say these 5 prayers in the congregation, in the mosques. This becomes the pivot of the Muslim society, the axis of the Muslim society, the central focus of the Muslim society. And it becomes the fulcrum or axis in your daily routines. All things will be settled. All appointments will be made according to the timings of the Salah. No, after that Salah only. That's the time of my prayer. I can't meet you. I can't see you. I can't visit you. All the timetables should be fixed with reference to the timings of the prayer. In the individual life as well as the social life, the Salah becomes pivotal. Anyhow, I don't have time to more dilate upon this. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And add to it, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Number one. Number two, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. And those who turn away, who don't indulge in what is futile, useless. Love, the Arabic, doesn't mean sin, ma'asiyah, no. But something which is useless. The time is precious, time is money. Al-waqtu saifun qatir. This time should be used only for one of the 2 purposes. Please beware. If you are wasting your time, you are wasting the most precious thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Art is long and time is fleeting. And our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating, funeral marches to the grave. Every minute, every second is very precious. Either it should be used to fulfill some real need of this world. Real need. That is also, إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. You have to fulfill it. Or otherwise for the akhirah. Spend it for some act, some deed, some action, some activity. Whose reward you want in the akhirah. This concept of pastime and hobby and to kill time. I'm just killing my time. It's only to those who don't believe in the hereafter. Because every moment of this life, potentially it is eternal. Please understand it. Because this limited life, the results of the works done here are to be returned to us in the unlimited life. What does it mean? This limited life, this limited time is potentially unlimited. Because whatever we are earning, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَةُ الْآخِرَةِ. This dunya is the farm where you have to sow something to reap in the hereafter. If you don't sow the seeds here, what will you reap in the hereafter? Mazra, farm. الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَةُ الْآخِرَةِ. This is the farm, this is the field. Sow the seeds here So you will be able to reap in the hereafter. So how can a mu'min have any minute or a second to waste to kill? It's suicidal. To kill time is suicidal. You have very limited time. You know, I quoted this piece of poetry, English poetry, many a times. But today let me give you an Urdu equivalent. Rafil tujhe ghadiyal ye deta hai manadi, gardu ne ghadi umr ki ek aur ghata di. With every hour that is passing, my age is decreasing, not increasing. The rest of the time that I have to pass here is has decreased by 1 hour more. Every hour. The ice is melting. So how can a moment waste even a single moment of his life? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ What is this zakat? It's very close to the concept of falah that I have already discussed. In Arabic language, tazkiyah is the action of a gardener. A gardener, when he enters his garden, there are plants which he himself has planted, whether for some fruit or for some flowers. But there is the grass growing up and weeds. They have grown themselves. Now what is the result? The nourishment which is there in the soil, it would have been exclusively available to your plant. Now this grass and the weeds are also taking part out of it. The oxygen in the air, it would have been available to the plants that you have planted yourself. Now these things also are partaking from it. So you just remove them. The gardener, he takes some instrument in his hand and goes and does away with all these things additional which have grown by themselves. This is tazkiyah. In Arabic literature, basically tazkiyah is the function of the gardener. Why is he doing so? He wants that the plant that he has planted should grow. He should have the maximum energy, whatever the soil has by way of food for it. It should be available to this plant. It should grow. Not these things, weeds and grass and so on. This is tazkiyah. Now this human being is a plant planted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he wants. He should progress. He should have all the qualities of Khalifatullah. He should become the mirror of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah is forgiving, you also should be forgiving. If Allah is merciful, you also should be merciful. You must become a reflector of the attributes of Allah. Your personality should reflect Allah. The Sufis say so. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ Try to cultivate within your personality the same attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in his own personality. He is alim. Try to get more and more ilm. So actually Allah wants you to grow. To grow in that order, in that fashion, in that way. You are growing in some other fashion. You are unmindful of what's your position in the eyes of your Lord and Creator. So what is tazkiyah? You just get away from your personality, the things which are hampering your development in the correct direction. The bad habits to which you have given yourself. You are killing your time. You are wasting your energies. Tazkiyah means to purify your soul from the intentions which are hampering your development in the direction in which your Creator wants you to develop. And the worst obstruction in the way of that development is the love of this world and the love of wealth. So give it away. Spend it for the cause of Allah. Keep spending. Don't try to retain it. يَسَلُونَكَ مَعْدَى يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْرِ Oh Messenger of Allah, they are asking you, how much should we spend for the cause of Allah? Tell them, everything that is surplus, give it away. Here that is the meaning. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ It is not the zakat, one of the modes of worship. Because with that term always you have ita is zakat. يُوتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ آتُ الزَّكَاةَ أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُوتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ It's آتَ يُوتِ not فَاعِلُونَ They continue. They are continuously purifying their souls from the impurity of the love of this world and the love of wealth. That is the biggest impurity in the way of the development, which your Creator wants you to pursue. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ Continuously purifying their selves. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ Now this is the third quality, third exercise. First salah, having two aspects, khushu and khuzu inside, and the whole system guarding it outside. Number two, to know the value of time, not to kill it, not to kill even a second, in any meaningless, unfruitful, futile activity. Make the best use of every minute and every second. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ Number three, continuously purify yourself from the love of wealth by spending it, giving it away to the needy. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ And then we found in Surah Al-Taghabun, إِن تُقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعِفُ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَمَن يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ The fourth thing is, and you will find exactly these three ayat are repeated here in the same words and also in Surah Al-Ma'arij. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ And those who control their sex organs, that is their sexual urge, the sex discipline, they guard their sex. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ Except with their wives or spouses. Azwaj, as I told you, in Arabic, it goes both ways. Wife is the zawj of husband. Husband is the zawj of wife. So, Allama Muhammad Asad has used at all the places where this zawj comes in Quran, spouses. And I think it's correct. But you may say wives. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ Number two, the captive women whom your right hands possess and own, the captives from the jihad fi sabilillah, only. These are the two only permissible modes of satisfaction of your sexual desire. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ For verily such people are not to be blamed at all. Here Quran is actually denying the concept of rahbaniya, that sex is evil. No. It's a normal instinct that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has produced in all the animals, in all the living beings, in humans also. You have to satisfy it, but with only through halal means and halal ways, not haram. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ Whosoever seeks this sexual pleasure beyond these limits, then verily such people are the transgressors, adun, who transgress the limits of the Sharia. These are the only two ways. Nowadays there's no concept of any concubines or any captive women, but Quran has not abrogated this institution totally. Why? Because I know it for sure. That there is going to be jihad fi sabilillah. Before the end of this world, true jihad will take place. And the domination of this, of Islamic system over the whole of the globe will take place. At that time, there might indeed arise of this institution to be invoked. What to do with the prisoners of war? Keep in the concentration camps. If you can exchange, okay. But there can be situations where the prisoners of war cannot be exchanged. Now keeping them in the concentration camps, why not to absorb them into the Muslim society? Divide them into Muslims. And Muslims, with their good treatment and calling towards the deen of Allah, will convert most of them to Muslims. And those women also, they will become, although they will not be equal in status to the wives, but if a Muslim has a concubine, and if he frees her and marries her, it's a work of high virtue, very commendable. Give her the status of your wife, very commendable. But this institution of slavery was not abrogated by Quran, because To me, there's no doubt about it. There's going to be the need to invoke this institution. And that time is not very far off as far as my judgment goes. Wallahu alam. Number 5, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And those who guard and fulfill their trust and pledges and covenants. We have seen this in the second lesson also. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. The same thing. Only the subject, context, that is different. But the same thing. So this is the 5th exercise. Fulfill your word. إِنَّ لَحْدَ كَانَ مَسُولًا. Cultivate the habit of fulfilling. There are brothers who make promises without thinking. One of the audience here is very dear to me. I have cautioned him many times. When he makes a promise, I said, think about it. Not just making a promise. Whether you will be able to fulfill it, think twice before making a promise. But if you have made one, now you have to fulfill it. إِنَّ لَحْدَ كَانَ مَسُولًا. Promise. You will be held responsible about your promises. The Prophet said, إِدَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَأَخَذِ الْكَفِّ. The promise of a mu'min is just like you are catching his hand, he cannot go. When you have promised, you should feel that your hand is in the hand of the person with whom you have made a promise. I'll come at that time, and now just not caring about it. Only saying, you know, some excuses, this happened and that happened. Why did you make the promise? And this weakness is very common among people who work with their hand. A tailor, for example. Well, 2 days, 3 days, you come and your suit will be ready. And he knows, he cannot do it. He has made the same promise with so many people. Making promise. In the same way, all these people, they don't want that this customer should be, he should go. When you say, well, I can't do this work before 7 days, he will go away. He will find someone else, tailor. You make a false promise, only to retain the customer. This is very wrong. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا. And I told you when we were studying Suratul Fatiha, total deen is ahd. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It's an agreement, it's a covenant, it's a mu'ahada. Oh Allah, I will keep obeying you and I'll request help from you only. The promise, you have to fulfill it. That is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who was a personal servant of the Prophet. The mother of Hazrat Anas, he came and said, O Messenger of Allah, this son of mine will be with you, he'll serve you. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he remained with the Prophet from his early boyhood. Then he became a full adult. For 9 years he served the Prophet. And this hadith has been reported by him. قَلَّمَا خَتَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا قَالْ لَا إِمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا أَمَانَةَ لَهُ وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا أَحْدَ لَهُ. It was only seldom that the Prophet ﷺ sent some sermon to us, delivered any sermon to us, and he didn't include in that sermon these words, لَا إِمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا أَمَانَةَ لَهُ. The person who is not trustworthy, he has no iman. Categorical statement. If he betrays his trust, he has no iman. La imana liman la amanata lahu. Wa la deena liman la ahda lahu. And whosoever doesn't fulfill his ahd, his promises, his covenants, his pledges, he has no deen whatsoever. Walladheena hum li amanatihim wa ahdihim ra'un. Now amana is not only some money that somebody has kept with you. The Prophet said, innal majalisa bil amanat. You are sitting somewhere and there are persons talking something. Now whatever you have heard here is an amanah with you. Don't go and tell it to everybody that this was being discussed there. Innal majalisa bil amanat. All the national political offices are amanah. The nation has given you, entrusted you with some office, some authority. It's an amanah with you. So amanah, you must have the full connotation of the word before you. And let me quote here another ayah. the biggest amana with me and with you, what is it? The spirit of Allah. Inna aradna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibali wa bayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan. That amana, I, a creature, created from very low, from the clay, from the crust of this earth, and I have been entrusted with the highest possible thing, and that is the ruh which is coming from Allah. يَسَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ اللَّهُ يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. It's something divine. Allah has put it in you. This is the biggest amana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Develop it. Take care of it. And that is actually what we mean by falah. قَلَ فْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And these are the exercises to be undertook in order to be able to care for this amana within you. Now in the end, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. I have already discussed it. Beginning with salah and the inner side of the salah, the khushu and khuzu. Ending with salah, but the outer side, legal side of salah, timings, all the five prayers, to pray in congregation, in the mosques, to take care of every action, every rukun of the salah. Do you fulfill it properly? Now these are two aspects of the same thing. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. These are the people, the inheritors, the heirs. Heirs of what? Some worldly estate? Some very big business? Some big property? No. They are the heirs who will inherit Firdaus, Jannah, the paradise. الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. They are the heirs. الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Who will inherit paradise, the garden of paradise. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And therein they will remain and live forever, forever. These are the 11 ayat which gave you five basic foundations of character building in Islam according to the Quran. Now we turn to the second passage. We have just discussed the first three ayat. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. The raw material, you know, of human beings is very weak. The animal aspect of our existence is weak. We are very low in the scale of creation as regards our bodily creation. But very high, the highest as regards the spiritual aspect. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. This weakness can be overcome only by those who fulfill these conditions, who take to these exercises. I'm again using the word exercise. I told you, just as the wrestlers and the boxers and the bodybuilders, they have to take strenuous exercise. Every player. The stars who shine in different fields of play and game, how hard they work. The athletes, if to build these muscles and this outward body, you need such strenuous exercise, how can it be possible that you can build your inner personality, yourself, the inner self, the spiritual aspect of your existence, your khudi, tamir-e-khudi, without any exercise? These are the exercises. إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّينَ. Except those who turn to prayer. Now here, you know, in the place of مُؤْمِنُونَ we have مُسَلِّين. As if the biggest identity of a mu'min is salah. I told you, five prayers a day. Just imagine. If somebody offers these prayers regularly with the congregation at mosque, it becomes, you know, the pivot of his life. His routine, all his timetable, all his routine in life that is tied up with this pillar. As-salatu imaduddin. This is the pillar of deen, and this becomes the pillar of your life. Illa al-musalleen, alladheena hum ala salatihim daimoon. But those people who turn to their prayers, but who are firm, permanent, constant in their prayers, Not that there comes a wave when a man is praying five times, not only five times, he is saying tahajjud also. But then the wave has subsided and now he is not praying at all. Not that. Constancy and permanence in prayer. That is necessary. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ And those in whose wealth there is a definite right of those who ask for help, sa'il, beggars, وَالْمَحْرُومِ And those who are deprived of good things of this life. If you have with you some surplus, you have to share it, not retain it. Because then you become manua. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوَا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوَا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوَا Because you have good fortune with you, you want to withhold it with you. You don't want others to share it with you. No. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ This ma'loom has two meanings. Number one, when the system of zakah, regular charity was established, it is 1/40th, 2.5% of whatever you have. But at the spiritual level, it is all that is surplus. يَسَلُونَكَ مَعْذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْرِ I have a small booklet on the economic system of Islam, but that is in Urdu only. And I have discussed the very basic fundamental principle of the economic system of Islam. Islam has two economic systems, not one. One at the legal level, the other at the spiritual level. At the legal level, you earn through halal means and you can retain. Except for zakah that you have to pay. The rest of it you can retain. At the spiritual level, you can't retain it. Your need fulfilled, whatever is surplus, give away. That is the spiritual level. يَسَلُونَكَ مَعْذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْرِ The Prophet led his life on this level. Abu Dharr Ghifari, رضي الله تعالى عنه, and so many other fuqara sahaba, they led their lives at this level. Not to retain even a single penny. And I have used very surprising words there. The Prophet never paid zakah. One of the pillars of Islam, and the Prophet never paid zakah. People get surprised, astonished. How? Because he never retained anything with him. Zakah is liable only when you have retained something with you. You have 7 tolas of gold at least, then you have to pay. 52 tolas of silver, then you have to pay. If you never retain anything with you, there's no zakah. He never paid zakah. But he was doing zakah all the time. And that is the zakah, spiritual zakah, which we have discussed in Surah Al-Mu'minun. الَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ Doing it every time, every minute. Whatever is surplus, give it away. A very interesting event happened in the house of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. A goat was sacrificed. All the meat was distributed among the poor. The Ashab al-Suffa, they were there in the mosque. There was no need of going far away to distribute to the poor. Only one shoulder it was retained. Because Ummul Mumineen Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa knew that the Prophet very much cherishes, likes this flesh of the shoulder. When the Prophet came, he asked, what was left? Ma baqiya minha of that goat, what was left? The answer was, nothing was left except a shoulder that I have retained. And then the Prophet said, all of the goat has been left and saved except this shoulder which we shall consume. Whatever had been given in the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah, it is saved. It has become eternal. What we shall consume, it is consumed. So the saving, the concept of saving is absolutely revolutionized. Whatever you are giving for Allah, it is saved. It is this saving. Not what you are retaining with you. It's not the saving. Well, the whole banking system goes. It all depends on saving. Why do you save? Give to the poor. And if you give it to the poor, the purchasing power of common man will increase. And the whole economy, it will become faster. Now, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ Against that we have here,
والذين في اموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين والذين هم من عذاب ربهم مشفقون ان عذاب ربهم غير معمول. And those who believe in the day of judgment, day of rewarding, they have deep faith, they testify. And those who keep fearful, keep trembling from the idea of the punishment of their Lord, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَعْمُونَ. And verily, surely, definitely, the punishment of their Lord is nothing that somebody can feel secure about. You have to be fearful. It's really such that one should remain fearful of that punishment. Now just see, is there anything corresponding to these three ayat in that 11 ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun? Place that please. Surah Al-Mu'minun. One thing we have seen. In the Surah Al-Mu'minun we had, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Here we have the same thing under different words. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَعْرُومِ. Words, wordings are different. Essence is the same. But what is corresponding to these three ayat? وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَعْمُونَ. The essence of it is, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. When you believe in the hereafter, when you believe in the day of judgment, each and every moment of this life becomes eternal, potentially eternal. You take care of it. As you say, catch the time by the forelock. Don't let it go. Use it. Either for any need of this worldly life or for gaining anything hereafter. So actually the essence should be this. That with your time here, you buy akhirah. This is your currency. With this you can have the comfort and the good things of akhirah. Now, three ayat I told you in the same wordings, no difference. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They guard their sexual desire, sexual urge. They don't commit fornication, adultery. They fulfill their sexual urge, but only with their wives and those captive girls whom their right hands own. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. In that they are not to blame at all. This is permissible, this is halal. Sex is not haram. That is why the Prophet said, النِّكَاهُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. This is my sunnah. And it is not liked by Islam to remain without marriage. It has been ordained in the Quran, commanded expressly, in express word, أَنْكِحُوا أَيَّامَ مِنْكُمْ. You make the widows and the widowers among you marry. Force them to marry. If one is remaining without marriage, he or she is a potential danger to the morality of the society. Because the sexual urge is there. Who can deny it? You believe that Freud is the biggest psychologist? And he says that sex is the biggest and the most potent urge in man. Man as well as women. Most potent. We don't agree with him. But people who believe in him, who take him to be the biggest psychology, father of modern psychology, he says it's the most potent urge in man. And then you take it lightly. Whosoever is without marriage is a potential danger to the morality of the society. That's why the Prophet said, make haste in getting your sons and daughters married. If they go astray only because you have not arranged for their marriage, you will to be blamed. The burden of their sin will come on you. This is just to the contrary of what is our practice today. Boys going to the age of 35 and 40 and then marrying. Girls, 30, marrying. Very wrong. Ankehul ayama. Ankehu is fele amr. Imperative. Ankehul ayama. Ayama goes both ways. The widows and the widowers. Both. Make them marry. If it can be done, they should be forced to marry. And it's a very interesting event of the life of Shah Ismail Dehlvi, rahimahullah. the grandson of Shah Waliullah Dehlvi, when he decided to say a sermon in the Jame Mosque of Delhi, the famous Alamgiri Mosque built by Aurangzeb Alamgir, and he remembered that his own elder sister was without marriage, a widow. She was very old. But he went to her. "Oh, my sister, I have to say the sermon tomorrow. On this ayah, Antul Ayama Minkum. What will people say? That your own sister? She remained without marriage after being widowed. Please, please, for God's sake, accept marriage." And she cried, "In this old age of mine, you are proposing for me to marry?" And he again requested, and she married. And then he said the sermon. That is actually the way you should do. Look to yourself and your houses and your families first. And then take the courage of saying something to others. So actually, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ankihu layama minkum. Faman ibtagha wara zalika faulaika humul adun." But whosoever wants this sexual pleasure beyond these limits, well, he is a transgressor, no doubt. He is to blame. He will be punished. But within these limits, there is no blame to a person. People, because they blame, "Oh, he is so old, and now he is going to marry. Why?" But this is against the teachings of our deen. Either we can follow Allah and His teachings and His commandments, or the society. You can't please both. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعْدِهِمْ رَعُونَ. Again the same ayah, exactly the same wording. But there, another thing has come out of this ayah. Shahada, witness. It's also an amana. Something happened somewhere, some accident or something happened, somebody injured somebody, somebody killed somebody, and you were a witness there. You saw the incident. Now this is an amana with you. It's a social amana. It's a social trust. You have to go to the court, and this amana with you, you have to present for the society, so that the culprit can be brought to the book. So actually this is also an amana, shahada. I quoted the ayah from the 16th section of Surah Al-Baqarah, the last section of the first part of the Quran. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Who can be more wrongdoer, more cruel, more evil committer than a person who has some shahada with him from Allah, some witness from Allah is with him, and he conceals it, hides it. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. And we shall discuss it later, inshallah, that this shahada with us, this whole ummah is meant for witnessing to the whole of humanity what Allah has given us through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why have we been made into an ummah? وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. You have the sect here, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Who are they? This term is very correct, very near the Quranic terminology. Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah actually, in their language, for God, for Allah. Every Muslim is a witness of Allah. Is a witness of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They too be Muhammad ki sadaqat ki gawahi. And this gawahi, this witnessing, we have to give through our words, spoken word, through our deeds and actions and behavior and attitude in life. And we have to present this witnessing of Allah and His deen, His messenger, at the personal level, individual level, as well as the collective and social level. Show to the world at large, this is Islam. Establish Islam in some one country in the world at least, and then call people, come and see, this is Islam. This is Islamic State, this is Islamic society, this is Islamic economics. This is the social structure of Islam. This is the society which has been cleared of all the social evils according to our concepts and standards. This is a society where we have cultivated and promoted all the social goods, social values, according to our teaching and our standards. Come and see. See for yourself. Can we present? And if we are not, مَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Who is more wrongdoer than those
who are hiding a shahada. This deen is a shahada with us. It's a witness. It's a trust. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ They stand on it. They stick to it. They are firm on it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ Again, the same. The last there was also عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ That's the only difference. Here it is singular, there it was plural. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ Who guard their prayers. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ These people will be honored in the gardens of paradise. May Allah include us all among them. Now that chart, comparative study. Just go through. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ Corresponding to قَدْ أَفْلَحَ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا To overcome this weakness in our creation, bodily creation, we have to undergo this strenuous exercise of building of character. Al-Mu'minun against Musallin. Now, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ It is later on. Just follow the arrow. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ Follow the arrow. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ Then the three ayat exactly the same. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَىٰ وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ Again one ayah the same. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ But additional aspect of amanah, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ And the ending, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ The best and the most shining example of Al-Qur'an يُفَسِّرُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا
بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم